many times when friends tell me stories like that, though, I'm like, I wish I could go find that woman and tell her off for sharing. That was so incredibly rude.
This is Sherry Gregory, and you're listening to Grit and Grace, Good Girls Breaking Bad Rules. This week, my delightful co-host, Amy Carroll, and I are just kind of kicking back and talking about what we learned from our time with Jennifer Dukes-Lee last week, talking about her book, Love Idol. To kick off the conversation, Amy's sharing one of her top aha moments.
When she talked about this idea of being pre-approved, it just really hit my heart in such a profound way. And later in the day, I knew that I was having this really difficult conversation coming up. And as a matter of fact, I've had an inordinate amount of conflict in my life in the last month or so.
And of course, conflict is your favorite thing, right?
Oh, right. Because, you know, my favorite thing is a lack of messy. So when things get messy, my usual thing is to run away and to hide and kind of quietly back out. But God is really challenging me to have the hard conversations so that the relationships are strengthened instead. So I had this conversation scheduled and I was not looking forward to it. Most of us don't look forward to hard conversations. But this idea of being pre-approved I was immediately able to apply it because I went into the conversation knowing that I'm pre-approved, which gave me this peace and this confidence that what I was saying wasn't illegitimate, that it wasn't just whining, because it was a situation where I felt like I wasn't being cared for and that I felt like I was being treated like I didn't matter. So I had started to feel like I didn't matter. So it changed my feeling about myself going in. But the other thing that surprised me is it so changed my feeling about the person I was talking to also, because I had truthfully been really kind of mad at this person. And I'm not a person who's going to write a nasty email necessarily, but I had thought the mean things in my head. And so it was a reminder going in that this person on the other side of the conflict, that his heart is as tender as mine, and that he is approved by God and loved by God as much as I am pre-approved by God and loved by God. And as such, I need to treat him the way Jesus would treat him. And so, it was just so helpful on every level, especially for me in the case of conflict.
So you didn't go in feeling needy. You didn't go in trying to get your approval needs met by this person. I know for me, I go into these things and I'm like, okay, if I can just help them understand, then they'll turn around and be on my side. And I walk out and they never understand. They're never on my side. And the neediness I went into that conversation with has only grown. Because I have such an agenda for this other person. So it sounds like you went into that conversation with realistic expectations.
Part of what it did is it made me think through, what do I want the end of this to be? What would be success for me? A friend of mine really helped me work through it before I went into the conversation, and she talked about Brené Brown, who I'm sure we'll talk about in the future too. She talks and writes about perfectionism. And how Brené talks about the stories that we create in our heads. And so that's how I approached this person, as I said, hey, here are the events that happened, and here is the story in my head. I feel uncared for. I feel like I don't matter. But I do want to say that I understand that that might not be a correct perception. And the beauty of what happened in the conversation is that he was able to correct my perception to some degree. Some of it was justified and some of it was not. And I tell you, feeling pre-approved, knowing I was pre-approved, allowed me to take that step toward the hard conversation. And if I had never had the conversation, I would never have known that some of the things I believed were true were not actually true. You know, it was just, again, it just was God proving to me that I can trust him, that my mistrust of other people is not always founded. and that the hard conversations are worth it. And knowing that I'm pre-approved will help me in the future have the hard conversations and also have them faster, because I had put this off for long enough that my negative feelings had grown out of proportion.
Those of us who are the people-pleasing type, we avoid the conflict because we don't want anything to go wrong. We want to keep the peace in the relationship, which, of course, there isn't real peace, but we tell ourselves that our discomfort is better than what we imagine might happen, whether it's a blow-up or an argument or whatever.
Right.
But the problem with those stories we tell ourselves, and this is going to be true especially for those of us who are highly sensitive people, is our brains respond to them as if they're true. Because
oh, yes.
Our brains don't know the difference between imagination and reality often. And so we start telling ourselves that a person is uncaring, and so we start responding to them. Literally, our brains start firing as if they're an uncaring, hostile, dangerous person, when they may not even be aware that that's what we're thinking about them. And so we then end up with a relationship that's spiraling down, and we tell ourselves, see, I knew it.
Right.
If it's this bad without actually having the hard conversation, imagine how much worse it's going to get if I even try to handle the conflict. Whereas the truth is what you discovered. And even if, I mean, I think it's so beautiful that you had the positive outcome, that he was able to and willing to correct the stories you were telling yourself.
Yeah.
Sometimes that doesn't happen. Sometimes
That's the
right. other person is going to say, nope, you're right. Those stories are all true. I really don't like you. Or they just listen and they don't say anything else. But going into that conversation pre-approved, we don't need their input to be affirming or correcting or whatever. We can get that need met by God rather than constantly going to the other person to have that need met.
That's so good. And I think about how many relationships in my past 4 decades or almost 5 that I have walked away from exactly what you said, that I believed the story was true. And now I think, maybe sometimes it was, and maybe sometimes it wasn't. And this is a person I treasure so much, and I know he treasures me. So I am thankful to have had the conversation so that we can go forward in our friendship. And the weird thing is it actually strengthens the friendship. These conversations, I always perceive them as negative, because one thing that you said is that the lack of open conflict does not mean that there's peace.
Mm-hmm.
They're not equivalent, but I've always made them equivalent in my head. And so I'm thankful that I'm learning and growing.
So why do you think this strengthens the relationship?
When we have the hard conversations, when we walk through the hard places, and we come through on the other side together, they're stronger.
It sounds like there's an increase of trust. You've added something onto the history that you have together, and so you can count on each other more because of this. I'm thinking of my husband who's downstairs lifting weight. The more that he pushes his muscles, they may feel weak afterwards because he's literally breaking down the fibers of his muscles temporarily, but then they rebuild and they're stronger. And, you know, my old approach of let's never try anything, let's just pretend everything's fine, that led to very weak trust muscles, I guess you could say, in my relationships. So my relationships were really kind of weak and flabby. They felt comfortable, but kind of couch potato comfortable, I guess.
That's a great insight.
Rather than having the strength to actually move and do the heavy lifting. That's what you guys did, is you did some heavy lifting together in your relationship.
Yes. And you made a good point. That doesn't always happen. The more that I learn and grow, the more I'm starting to be an advocate of laying our cards on the table, not in a hateful way, not in a yelling, screaming way, but hey, I'm going to say all I have to say. I invite you to say all you have to say, and then let's work through this together.
I've had people ask me, well, if I already know that the hard conversation is going to be somewhat painful to me, and I already know how the other person's going to respond, and sometimes I feel like they really do, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Like they've been together long enough, why even bother? And here's the answer I have, and you've just illustrated it. If we do our part, it changes who we are. It makes
yes.
us stronger. If we at least attempt the heavy lifting, our relational muscles are going to strengthen, even if the other person doesn't reciprocate. I'm now really focusing far less on the other person's response, which used to be everything to me. you know, I need the response. I'll dance, I'll sing, I'll, you know, anything necessary to get the response I want from the other person. Now I'm much more, what is it that's going to build my integrity, that's going to keep me who I believe God has created me to be and continue growing me into that person, regardless of how the other person responds, certainly within bounds of civility and politeness and healthy relationship. My focus has shifted from needing a certain response from the other person to literally needing to do what it is I'm feeling God calling me to do in the relationship, regardless of the outcome. And that's kind of a freeing place to be at. I'm not saying it always feels great. And, you know, right. if the conversation goes badly, I'm still going to, you know, pull out my two best friends, Ben and Jerry, and, you know, probably cry over a few episodes of Gilmore Girls. But it's not going to devastate me the way that it used to.
Yes. And really, for me, what I decided one of my okay outcomes was is that I had done everything that I could do to maintain the relationship. And that, even if everything had gone south, that wouldn't have felt good. But I would have been able to walk away with peace knowing I did my part. And that's all we can do, really. We can't control that other person.
That's a really good place to be at.
One of the things that Jennifer said that was so eye-opening, an idol is anything that keeps us from seeing Jesus. And she said that keeps us from seeing the love of Jesus. And where did we get this idea that to get people's love or get God's love and approval, that we have to do everything to make them happy? I mean, this isn't the way the world works. And it's not even that is a deception to believe that we have to work to do it, or we have to do everything that we can to make them happy, to get love and approval. It's crazy.
Probably for the perfectionist part of it, it almost seems too good to be true that we already have what we need.
Oh.
And that we don't have to hustle and go working for it. The other thing that Jennifer said that I so appreciated, she said we can enjoy approval and affirmation from others without having to crave it. And it's that tipping
profound
point into craving where it becomes unhealthy. For me, that was so important because I tend to be all or nothing. So when I read her book and I was about ready to just go, fine, I'm not going to get approval from anybody ever. I'm going to shut people up if they try to compliment me. And I'm just going to fast from all human interaction that might be positive. And she was like, no, let's have some balance here. I mean, we talk about being Jesus with skin on for other people. And other people can be his hands and feet and his voice in our lives. It's when we can receive, and then at least for me, being done, I receive it and then I don't need to keep asking for more. I don't know if I've ever told you this story. When I was newlywed, I made myself this amazing raw silk suit. And I tried a new technique to do the pockets, and they were rounded pockets, and I did triple top stitching on them. So we went to church, and I wore it, and I was hoping somebody would notice, because that's, as a sanguine, expressive personality, that's the only reason I sewed. I do not enjoy the attention to detail, but the perfectionistic part of me, you know, pressed all the seams perfectly, and I spent, you know, hours and hours obsessing. I'll use that word, obsessing over it. So we go to church, and I'm hoping somebody will notice. It's welcoming time, and we're supposed to turn and say something to the person near us. And so a woman turns around, and she puts her hand on my knee, and she says, "Honey, did you make that suit?" And I'm like, the angels are singing. I'm like, "Why,
that's
yes,
not good.
Why, yes, I did." And then, see, then
uh-oh.
I said, "How could you tell?" And then she said, "Oh, honey, my pockets always turn out that way, too."
No. Oh, my heavens. It was the reverse slam.
Oh, my word. And, you know, that has become code word in our house for any time I'm fishing or pushing. Daniel will just go, pockets. And it's like, oh, you know. If I had just stopped it, "Did you make that suit?" "Why, yes, I did." And then just moved on and talked about her, and I could have received what I was perceiving as a compliment rather than pushing it to that next level. I think it's the inability to receive what I'm given and the need to milk the situation for just a little more, just a little more, just a little more, that gets me in trouble, at least. Jennifer said that the love idol is an idol that she needs to lay down every single day. And your question was, what does that look like? What do you think that looks like for you to lay down your love idol every day?
Well, she made the excellent point. I mean, it really starts in our time with God that, I mean, the root of all of this is knowing that we're loved by God. If we know that we're pre-approved by Him, everything else changes. But I mean, I just started thinking about in my everyday reactions to people that, good grief, I mean, how many times a day do we have these interactions with people and we react in a way that lets everybody know that we don't know we're pre-approved? You know, I thought really every day we've got to take this idea of being pre-approved, being loved by God. And I loved, she used the word premeditated love, that we have God's premeditated love for us, and take it and apply that in every little decision, every little interaction every day. Satan would love for us to not feel loved. And I think that's the thing that's constantly kind of whispered in my ear is you're not really pre-approved. You are not really loved. It is a daily battle. So I just love that she pointed that out. It's kind of like what we've talked about with the books that we've written, is that you write a book and like Love Idol or like The Cure for the Perfect Life or like Breaking Up with Perfect, and people think, oh, she wrote that book because she knew something. No, we wrote those books because we're still in process. And I love that Jennifer admitted that.
You know what just occurred to me while you're talking? She talked about the pre-approval being the thing that came in the mail, that she was pre-approved for the credit card. Mm. I think what I do is I go through life and I treat people as if I'm going up to purchase something and I'm afraid that credit card is going to be declined. I may be pre-approved for the credit card overall, but I'm worried that I have this itty bitty credit limit and I've already gone over it. And I've overspent. I need to learn to act as if it's never going to be declined, as long as I'm banking with God. Okay, so now I've got a really, really cheesy metaphor I have to work through.
I love that idea because years ago, I was doing a word study on the word agape. One of the definitions that I ran across said, love feast. And I was like, wow, God's love is a feast. But how often do I act like he has me on a diet? Mm. That he kind of doles things meagerly out to me, like there was just a little plate of something on the table for me. And that word just gave me such a visual of the abundance, of the lavishness of God's love, that it's a feast. And he doesn't have us on a diet.
I love it. That is like the best thing ever. All right.
You know, we started this podcast hoping that maybe we could bring some hope and encouragement to you, our listeners. But let me tell you, I had a total fangirl moment there. I'm like, Amy is brilliant and I get to listen to her. Well, in the last three episodes, we've been kind of breaking down the name of our podcast for you. We explain what we mean by grit, by grace. Last week, we talked about good girls. This week, we'll talk about what we mean by breaking bad rules.
The things that I've been going through, the way that I've been learning from God is realizing that hiding behind these masks, which is basically why we keep these bad rules, is to create a facade of something, that it just obscures God's glory in our life. And so I thought, who gave me the right to try to make myself into something that God never created me to be? Who gave me the right? So that was really an aha moment for me.
Wow. Okay. So I'm listening to you and now I'm flipping that to what I have a tendency to do, which is I try to force other people to be who I need them to be so that I can then feel good about myself. So now I'm thinking, so who gave me the right to tell other people who they have to be, to fix and force them, which is a fancy way of saying manipulate them into basically doing and being what will make me feel better. And again, that's the bad rules at work. I'm at the stage on so much of this where I'm recognizing them a little faster than I used to. And yes, I'm being able to take action on them a little bit sooner than I used to be able to. And so that part at least is really, really encouraging.
You know, Sherry, I'm so glad you said that because for our audience, because I think they need to know about us that we are women still so in process. And so I'm super excited about this podcast on so many levels. And one of them is that we continue to get to talk to women who are further along in their journey even than we are and learn from them. And we get to learn from our audience and each other. I mean, it's going to be great.
You've been listening to Grit and Grace, Good Girls Breaking Bad Rules with Sherry Gregory and Amy Carroll. Be sure to stop by the webpage for this episode for a bunch of great resources and to enter the drawing for this week's giveaway. For today, grow your grit, embrace God's grace, and if you run across a bad rule, go ahead and break it.